So we'll be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And this morning, I want to start off telling a story from my life. And I'm going to be vulnerable with you all. And I try and be vulnerable so you can see, like, I'm a normal person just like everyone else who Jesus is working stuff out in. And also that it produces that vulnerability in our community of your relationship with God and with other people around you. So y'all, some of you know my story growing up. Like, my dad left when I was 12, haven't seen him since. And what happened during that time, too, is my relationship with my mom got super rocky. And it was rocky for a long time. And there was a lot of brokenness that took place in that. And y'all know, like, relationships are often two-way streets, right? And so I messed up, she messed up, we both messed up. And there were some things that I was holding on to and just how I was being treated for a long term. And this was about 2 years ago. We were up there for Christmas. And I was just going through a lot of spiritual warfare with family stuff going on. And it kept getting worse. And I was praying, I was worshiping, I was doing everything I knew what to do, and it kept getting worse. And so I said, Meredith, this is during the Christmas time, I was like, I need to do a 3-day fast. I was like, I'm doing everything I can do, nothing is working. And she's like, you know, it's Christmas up here, right? And we're supposed to hang out and eat with people. I was like, I know, I need to do this. So if you think you need to do it, go for it. So I did this 3-day fast regarding the situation that was going on. And I was reading this book, and I got super convicted. The Holy Spirit revealed to me my sin. Basically said to me through this book and also through this YouTube video I watched that you're not honoring your mother. And I thought to myself, Jesus, have you seen what she's been doing, like, to me all these years? Like, can you see this? He said, you are not honoring your mother. It has nothing to do with what she does to you or doesn't do to you. It has to do with how you honor your mother, because the scriptures say, honor your mother and your father. And so I was sitting there, I was like, man, I've really screwed up, because I have not done this verse. I've, like, really messed this up. And so I was like, okay, repentance is action. So what do I need to do to start living out this verse? And the Holy Spirit really put on my heart to do two things. One, I need to go buy flowers. And two, I need to apologize to her. So if you just knew more of my own story, that was really hard for me to do. Like, that was one of the hardest things Jesus could ask me to do, because of different dynamics. So I went to Costco, got some great flowers there, came back, and we were leaving. I said, hey, Mom, I want to apologize to you and ask your forgiveness, because I have not treated you in the way that God has wanted me to treat you. I've been disrespectful. I've not honored you. So I ask that you please forgive me for that. And she forgave me, gave her flowers, and that started a renewal in our relationship. And it put us in a different direction for growth and transformation. So for me, I had to learn, like, man, how do you honor my mom in a context where I felt like I was not being treated very well? But God showed me it has nothing to do with how people treat you. It matters with what the Word says and how we're supposed to honor people in those contexts. So I wanted to open up with that story, because today we're going to be talking about family. And God's design for parent-child relationships. So God's design for parent-child relationships. And this will definitely apply to all of us today. So I want you to take a read of Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Read those four verses there. And as you read it, just ask, like, what am I learning about God or Jesus or his plan? And what am I learning about people in this? So you can answer those two questions. Those four verses are really short, but man, they're so deep. And they're probably going to be hard to apply at the different times, depending on life circumstances. So let's read verse 1 here together. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So we're going to look at the family system here going on. It's going to start off with children. And the word for children here is like a child or a dependent. So someone that is actually dependent on their parent, someone who's like a child being raised by their parent. And the idea is that to obey is to do, to listen with understanding. How many of y'all have either talked to your kids or talked to another kid and then it just goes one ear out the other? It happens to me sometimes, right? But this is like listening with understanding about complying and under authority. Submission. And if you remember from last week, Ephesians 5:21, it says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and we looked at God's design for marriage. So you can see there's this theme within the context of family, this idea of submission and compliance, because this is the way God has designed families to function in a really healthy way. And it says, if you notice here, it says, do this because you belong to the Lord. So this is all about identity. It's something that we try and dig deep into here at Enrich, is that your identity matters, and it's from your identity as a son or a daughter that your entire life flows from that. So God doesn't want you to do things first. He wants you to be first, to focus and get rooted in who Jesus says you are, and then from that identity then flows how you live your life. And it says, versus those who don't belong to the Lord, right? So you take the converse. If you belong to the Lord, there's those who don't belong to the Lord. And if you think about this, the opposite of obedience or honor is rebellion and dishonor. So if you look at the ways of the world, the way of the world system, the normal approach is going to be honor or dishonor, dishonor or rebellion towards those in authority. And so if you think about this, it's about a kingdom culture versus the culture of the world. And if you're a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father, then you get to be part of the kingdom culture. And the values of the kingdom are going to be so different from the world's kingdom and the world's perspective. So something you have to ask here is like, hey, I'm like almost 30 or, you know, getting up there. I'm in my 20s. I'm in college. Like it says, obey your parent. Like children, obey your parents. Like how does that all work? Or if you're like, hey, I'm 50, you know, 60. Like, do I still obey my parents? What does that look like? So we got to really think through, like, how do we actually apply these? So adult children and the parent relationship transition. How many of y'all have gotten married, moved out of your house? Yeah, a lot of us, a handful of us. There's a transition that takes place, and many of y'all will hit that at some point. There's a transition that takes place, and there's tension on the parents. There's tension on the adult child, the relationship. There's all these pieces that begin to take place. And so when does this transition take place? And if you remember from last week when we studied about marriage, it's when you leave your father and mother and become united with your spouse, your husband or your wife. So that transition begins to take place when you leave your father and mother and become united with your spouse. And then you move from a place of being obedient to your parents to honoring your parents. Because your parents shouldn't be running your marriage, right? Your parents shouldn't be telling you how to do your marriage, how to do everything. And we'll get to more of what the role of the parent is in that. It's super important. We'll get there towards the end, but it's really important. And so we have to learn to navigate that tension well, that when you leave your father and mother, there's a transition takes place from being obedient, when your parents tell you to do something, do it, versus honoring your parents in the relationship with God, placing them over your life. And you're thinking like, Jared, why all this talk of like submission, like honoring authority, like why should we do this? And here's the huge key, and if you can catch this, it's a huge kingdom principle. It's the idea of being under authority is about covering and about protection. So when you're under the authority that God has placed you under and you align with that, with God's design, you actually get a covering over your life of supernatural protection. And so if you live in rebellion against your parents or against your employers or against another type of authority that Jesus places in your life, it actually opens up a door for the enemy to access your life through your rebellion. But if you repent of your rebellion, like I did, right? I had dishonored and rebelled against my mother. And so I asked her to forgive me, and I actually began to make tangible changes in that. It actually removed an open door of rebellion into my life and created a layer of spiritual protection. And so honoring and submission is all about being under God's covering and God's authority. And again, we talked about this last week, even if the person in authority over you is a total jerk, it doesn't matter what they do. It matters what you do to honor that person. Because if you live into the kingdom spiritual principle, you'll actually receive God's blessing and covering on your life. And and most likely you won't be with that person forever, especially in a work environment. But God is wanting to shape you through that and probably refine you and prune some things out of your heart or your life to make you into who he wants you to become. So let's look at verses 2-3 here. So it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. So honor your father and your mother. And we have to ask the question, what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? So when I did some nerdy study in the Greek, here are some things that come out. It's the idea of respect. How do you show respect to your parent? Whether you like them or not, it isn't about liking them or not, or how they treat you well or don't treat you well. How do you show respect to your parent? How do you show value to them? How do you show that they are highly regarded by you? How do you do this? And you heard my story at the beginning. Sometimes you gotta dig deep. Sometimes you gotta dig deep to be able to do this. And it isn't always about how you feel, but it's about what you do. And pray that Jesus changes your heart towards that person through confession of your sin and through repentance. So when all this was taking place, before I'd done this, we were driving on the freeway here on the 210, and my mom made this comment. She said, "Oh, I really like those wild sunflowers up on the hill." And it caught my attention. And I remembered it, and so after I repented and said, "Oh, I'm gonna start honoring my mother," it came into the season when those sunflowers started. We all see the sunflowers on the 210 here. And I was like, "All right, I'm gonna go get some." So I went and parked, I climbed up the big old hill through all like the thorns and thistles and stuff, and I got these sunflowers, and I pulled them off, and I put the heads in this bag, and I mailed them, and I totally messed up, because I don't really do too much mail. If you put them in a regular envelope, they don't go through the machine, and they get rejected, because they were the big heads of sunflower heads. And they came back moldy, because I'd put them in this bag, and I kept it open a little bit. I was like, man, my idea of trying to do this totally got ruined. So it was like the next season, I went and got these sunflower heads, and Meredith said, "Hey, I did some research about how to dry sunflower seeds." I was like, "You're the best." So we dried them over a period of time. I put them in the bag correctly. I put two stamps on there to make sure to get there. They're gonna go through the machine, and put them in the mail. And my mom texts me, "Hey, thank you so much for the sunflower seeds. I'm looking forward to planting them in the next season." And I was like, that, to me, to be able to honor my mom and convey that to her was a huge win for me from where I used to be. But what I did is I said, "Oh, these sunflowers, sunflowers is my mom's favorite flower." And so I was intentional to show her value and highly regard her and show her that honor. And I really believe that God saw that, and he continued to shift my heart and shift her heart and shift our relationship. We're still in progress of growing into a healthier and stronger relationship, but it's these ways of honoring that God responds to. Okay, yeah, that's the question. What if my mother or father treats me, you know, you fill in the blank, things that you don't appreciate, you don't like, you feel they're disrespectful, they don't treat you well, they're just, you know, they're spaced out and don't get it a lot of the time, like whatever's going on, right? You have to, what if they treat me this way? Your honor towards your parents is not dependent on their behavior, but on your obedience to God. So the way you honor your parents is not dependent on how they treat you, but on your obedience to Jesus through the scriptures. And I mentioned earlier, like, sometimes you just got to do before your heart will follow. Eventually your heart matters, because Jesus really cares about your heart and how you treat people. Because you can do the right thing with the wrong motive, and it doesn't make an impact. But if you do the right thing with the right heart motive, and if you're like, "Man, how do I get my heart right?" And I'll do right now. It's a little muddy, but yet you do this. You get on your knees before Jesus, and you say, "Jesus, man, I don't like this person. They treated me horribly, but I'm going to choose to forgive them." And you forgive them right there. And I'm going to choose to repent of my heart and my attitude towards them, and ask that you change my heart. And I'm going to take this step of obedience to do this, and I ask that you change my heart. My heart will follow you in this obedience. But you get on your knees, because Jesus is the only one who can change your heart. We can't change our own hearts, but he can change your heart if you give him permission to do so. So if you honor your parents, did you notice that? It says honor your parents. So if you do it, then you get a promise. Did you guys see the promise on there? It was huge. Check it out. Look in your word here. Verse 3. So it's an if-then statement, right? If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you'll have long life on the earth. So things will go well for you. Man, if God doesn't have things go well for you, that's what I want on my life, right? Versus you have an open door of rebellion in your life. So either you can have God's favor and blessing, or you can have the enemy's ability to access your life through not honoring. And you notice what I said too? You'll have long life on the earth. How many of you wanna live a long time and you don't want a premature death? You wanna live well, right? Because you wanna see your kids, your grandkids, maybe your great grandkids, right? And you wanna make an impact for the kingdom and the gospel as much as possible. So if you honor your father and your mother, then you get a long life on the earth versus, you know, an early death that could take place from it. And I'll share this key So I know some of you have great relationships with your parents. I know some of you maybe don't, and some of you are in between. Some of you, maybe your parent isn't around. Maybe they passed away. Like my dad is gone, and so honor looks different in my context. And so for me, honoring my father would be like someone who has that role in my life as like a father figure, honoring that person. So I think there's ways that we can honor those when they're not there anymore in that way. But honoring your parents, consistency over time builds transformation. So if you consistently honor your parent over time, it'll build transformation. So what this looks like for me, and this is just how I organize my life. I'm a Google Calendar person. Anybody else a Google Calendar person out here? A few of us, yeah, from work or whatever life. I throw tasks on there. Once a week, I have a task that pops up and it says, honor your mother. And so for me, it prompts me to do it, and then I'll do it. So sometimes I send a text message, sometimes I make a phone call, sometimes I send a picture of our kids, sometimes I'll send something in the mail, I'll send a gift. But it always reminds me to honor my mother. And then as you do that over time, it'll build transformation. And that not only blesses you, it's actually gonna bless your kids, because your kids will see how you're honoring your parents, and then they'll wanna honor you too in that. So you can see it cascades through the generations. So how do you honor your parents? I'll say this, relationship matters. The end of the day, I mean, I'm getting older, right, quote unquote, 37 years young. When I think about when I'm older in my like 50s, 60s and 70s and 80s, like I wanna have the best relationship with my kids possible. Because the end of the day, like money doesn't matter, like relationships matter. Relationships with your kids and your friends are the only things that are gonna stick with you at the end of this life. Because you can have all the money and no people. And like, and that's not worth it. That's not what God designed. So relationship matters. And we got to figure out what conveys value to our parents. Like what conveys honor to our parents? What shows them that we highly regard them? And at the end, I'll hand out a handout here that has some QR codes. We'll look at love languages. If any of you are familiar with love languages, it's basically like what buttons can you push with a person that says, oh yeah, that really shows me love. Because if you try and put like a circle block in a square hole, right, it won't go in. So if you're trying to love on someone and you keep telling them all these words of affirmation, how great they are and all this stuff, and they're just like, why do you keep saying that? I don't care about you saying nice things about me. But if you go and you like do the dishes or pick up your clothes or like do things like acts of service, right, you got to figure out what conveys love to that person. And so I'll have a QR code. It's a free thing you can do. You could fill it out for yourself. You can even send it to your parents. Hey, I was at church. I'm talking about love languages. Could you fill this out for me and screenshot or let me know what your love languages are, your top two? And then you could begin to set up a way of, oh, this is how I can honor my parents, show them respect. So look at verse 4 here as we begin to come to the close of our time. It says, fathers or parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So it's talking to us parents here, right? So it talks with the children, the little children, talks about your adult children, and now it talks about us as parents. And we have a huge responsibility as parents. And if you're like, I'm not a parent yet, well, man, parenting starts now. Parenting really starts now, because who you develop to be now will shape your family that you step to in the future. And I know there's some, we have a handful of parents in here today, and some grandparents too. So it says this, do not provoke your children to anger by how you treat them. And what that means is, don't treat them in a way, intentionally or even unintentionally, that's gonna get them mad and angry. And I grew up with some of that, where different people would make me angry intentionally, and man, it really hurt my relationship with that person. And so I had to learn how to forgive. But if someone treats me kindly in that context of parent, man, it's gonna make me wanna have that relationship with them. So as parents, we have a huge responsibility to treat our kids in a way that is intentional. And so as parents, and you can reflect on your own parent relationship, and the idea of me asking these questions for those that maybe have rough time with their parents is to recognize the pain that you've had from your parents and bring that pain to Jesus and forgive. Because forgiveness is really the only way to freedom. And then what brings full freedom is actually responding in obedience to the word of honoring your parents. That's what set me free. So you can ask these questions. Do you treat your children, or you can ask, was I treated or am I treated the way your parents treated you? So that means, like, am I continuing on what was done to me? And you can think about your parents, right? It gives you that compassion. Man, my parents were actually beat growing up. All growing up, they were just beat all the time until they got old enough. They were like 13, 14, and then they could stand up to their dad. Their dad wouldn't beat him anymore. I've heard so many stories about stuff like that. And so we have to reflect, am I just repeating what my parent did to me? Or have I critically reflected on the scriptures and prayerfully engaged myself and my past to say, hey, what does Jesus actually say to do with how we raise our kids? You gotta ask the question with the parenting, how is that working? That's one of the questions I ask myself a lot, or I'll ask my kids and stuff, and they're trying to figure something out, or like, dad, I can't do this. It's like, they're making a bad decision. I say, how is that working? And then they reflect, oh, it isn't working. I'm gonna try a different way. And then you gotta ask this question, what does God want us to do? How does God want us to parent our kids? And so this takes some work, because you got to study the scriptures. You got to look at yourself. You got to look at your parents. Remember in the beginning of this series, we looked at the family system, and you looked at your generations and things that were passed down and how you were shaped through your ancestors. In the same way, realigning with what God wants to do. This one can be hard, but it's good. If you're a parent, consider doing this. And if you're going to be a parent, put this in your pocket. Ask your children for feedback regarding their experience with you. Ask your children for feedback regarding their experience with you. You're going to need to like put a guard around your heart probably, and put on a flak jacket when you do this, because you can hear some things that are going to be pretty tough. But man, if you create that space for your kids to actually talk to you about the relationship, it could heal and restore. And if there's anything comes up where you need to ask your children to forgive you, I mean, that goes a long way. I just think about, man, all the years growing up, if my parents were to say, hey, I treated you this way, will you please forgive me? Man, that would have like healed our relationship. That would have been huge. I already do this with my kids. I'm not perfect, and some, y'all been around me. I mess up, say things, and do things that aren't right. And I do it with my kids too. You know what I do? I get down at their level and say, hey, when daddy did this, when I said this way, or when I did this, like that wasn't right, and I realized I hurt you, will you please forgive me? I do that with my kids. They're 4 and they're 7, and we talk about forgiveness, and I try and model that for them. So ask your kids to forgive you. And then, man, when you make a mess with your kids, clean it up. Just go and clean it up. It's hard when, you know, your stuff gets everywhere and muddy and all that, but, you know, we're only responsible for ourselves, and we got to take ownership for those things, and we got to go clean up our mess. And you may be thinking, man, my parents created a lot of mess in my life. Like, they really screwed up my life. They did some things. Maybe they stole your money. Like, there's all things that parents do that are crazy because they're broken people. Again, it's that road of forgiveness, right? So it's recognizing, man, my mom did this. My dad did this. Recognizing the pain that you've experienced and taking that pain to the cross and forgiving and releasing that person, and then choosing to honor your parent, even if they hurt you. So remember this. You are responsible for you and accountable to yourself before God. It's all about you. And think about this with your parents, right? Because you're like, what about my parents? Doesn't God hold them accountable? Yeah. Your parents are only responsible for themselves, and God will also hold your parents accountable. He'll do it in different ways. And it talks about this in the scriptures. It says, bring your children up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So the word discipline here is actually the educational process is what it means. It's Greek root. So you're in charge of educating your own children at the end of the day. And this makes me think of discipleship. So if you have kids and you're going to raise them in the Lord, nobody is responsible for your kids' discipleship except you. You can't just bring them to church and Sunday school class like that. You're hoping that checks the box with your kids' discipleship. And actually, you get to create an environment in your home where you disciple your kids. So for us, like, I'm intentional to get Kids Bible out with Emery and Ander. I let them choose stories. I read stories that I think are cool and I want to learn about too. We pray together at night before we go to bed, pray over them. They pray for people. We have, if you've been over to our house, if you haven't, we'd love to have you over at some point. We have on the wall in the kitchen, we have these printouts of verses, and we just talk about the verses together, and we pray about them. So what we've done is discipleship, just knowing Jesus, is just naturally integrated into our family. We don't have like set times. We just kind of do it as we do life. And it says instruction here. This is huge. So as parents, instructing your kids, this means giving counsel, giving guidance. It means correcting your children and also giving them warnings. So everything I just named, you can't control once that leaves your mouth. We know if you have kids, like, you can't control your kids in any way. We can only control ourselves. But what this is you can set your kids up for success. So give them the instruction and share that with them. Share your experiences. If you want to write down this verse, this is huge. This is Proverbs 22:6. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Proverbs 22:6. So it says, you actually are the one who directs your children. Nobody else, not the school system, not your church you bring your kids to, not you fill in the blank, right? It says, you are the one who actually directs your children in the way they should go. And when they're older, that will have such a root in them that they will follow Jesus and return to him if they depart for a short period of time. So remember that you're responsible for your kids' discipleship and not anybody else. So I had said we're going to talk about, what if you're like a parent of an adult child or a grandparent? Like, what's your role in that situation? So there's parents of adult children in transition. So you go from discipline and instruction to support. So you move from that role of being the direct person of, you know, educating your child and giving direct guidance and counsel to a position of support. So that means that you're being a little more hands-off and you're not telling them necessarily what to do, but you're being a supportive person. What this could look like is, hey, I noticed that you guys haven't had a date night in a while. Can I take your kids so you can go on a date night? Man, that would just, you know, where it goes now. Like, that goes so far for us just because we're plugging so hard. It's like, man, when we get some time together, when, you know, grandparents take the kids, that's so huge for us and super encouraging. What this could be is, like, ask them questions like, hey, how you been at work? You'd be surprised at how many parents, like, don't even, like, talk to their kids and ask about work. Or like, hey, how's your marriage going? Or like, hey, can I do anything to support you? Or do you need anything from me? Or hey, how's it been being a dad? Like, you've been doing a great job. Like, what's been your favorite part? So it's just asking those questions. And those ultimately lead to support because it builds and strengthens that relationship. So grandparents, hear this, and you all will probably be grandparents someday. Grandparents are super important. Super important in the way that God has designed the family system. And so think about, how can I healthily engage my adult kids? What does this look like? How can I do this well? And again, ask them for feedback. Hey, now you're an adult, and I'm so proud of you. Like, you've done a great job growing up with your family. You're successful. What can I do to support you? Like, what do you need from me? Those questions will go a long ways. And someone in our community had said this about prayer. I love it. Parent on your knees. So spend time on your knees praying for your kids. And Meredith spoke about prayer earlier. Man, prayer goes a long way. Because remember, it ripple effects. Prayer is outside of time. So prayer resolves your past, it affects your present, and determines your future. So when you're praying, you're actually ripple affecting your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and I pray all the way until Jesus returns. That's how I pray, that it would go through the family line. So as grandparents, you can actually set up the generations for success because of your prayers. So I know that was a lot from the Word in just four verses, but man, like, if you just take one of those things and you apply it wherever the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, like, it'll go a really long way for your heart transformation, for that relationship, and for the generations to come. So I'm going to hand out a handout here. And what is on this handout is some practical things. Like, how do I take this away? We'll look briefly at parenting. Like, how do I parent kids? We'll look at, like, hey, now that my kids are adults, how do I do that? And then we'll look at the love languages too. So let me hand that out. Okay, so I have some resources on here for you. This book called Loving Your Kids on Purpose, this book about parenting, it radically changed how I parent my kids. Like, it was an amazing book. It's really big font, so it's an easy read, but the chapters are super deep. That's by Danny Silk. You can scan that QR code. It takes you to the Amazon website where you can purchase it if you want to. So I just lifted off some of the guidance from Danny Silk here on kids, how to parent your kids. So you can offer your kids a choice. So this is like if your kid wants to do something or doesn't want to do something. Like, how do you navigate that as a parent? So offer your kids a choice. So this is the scenario. So your kid's playing outside and they stepped in doggy doo. And it's like all over their shoe, but they want to come in the house. You can stand outside with those shoes like that, or you can figure out a way to keep the dew out of the house. Take your time. So you're empowering your kid to choose what they want to do. And you're giving them two choices that you'd actually want them to do and that are life-giving. Another one is, do you want to speak respectfully to me while you're upset? or do you want to take some time and talk about this in an hour? So you're treating your kid with respect, right? You're not aggravating them to anger, but you're giving them a choice. Like you're saying, hey, like the way you're talking to me, I don't appreciate. If you want to talk when you're a bit more calm, we can do that. So you're giving a choice. I'll tell you, last night, if you were at our house, a living room blew up with all the kids' toys. And I did this. I said, hey guys, Meredith and I, Rami and I, we're going to go pack the car for tomorrow. So either you guys can clean up the toys while we're out there, or if I come back inside, if I clean up the toys, I'm going to put up the toys. And so what that means is that those toys are going out for 24 hours. And so I said, you guys can choose. And then we left. And when I came back inside, guess where all those toys were? They were put away. They put them away because they know this in our family. If daddy says something, he does it. So if I say it, I do it. Even I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. I still do it because I got to follow through my word because I want my kids to believe and to know, like, if daddy says it, he will do it. And ultimately, it reflects God to them. If God says something, he will do it because they're learning about God from parents. And that's the way, one of the ways that God has designed it. Okay, here's some guidelines, three guidelines for choices. Make sure your choices you're happy with that your child would actually choose, right? So don't do something you're like, oh man, now I actually got to do that. So choices that you would actually be happy for yourself and your kid to choose, and they're powerful choices. They're not disempowering choices. So it's not this. Do you want to do what I say, or do you want me to punish you? Right? And it's like, of course, what are they going to choose, right? You want to have two happy, positive choices. Rather, you could say it this way. Do you want to clean your room, or do you want to pay me for it? Some kids go, I'm going to pay you. Or like, I'm going to go clean my room, I don't want to pay you. Right? So they're choosing, you're empowering them. The next one here, number two, make sure the child understands the choices being offered. So here's an example. Ask them questions to understand what a clean room looks like. Now I do this sometimes. Hey, can you go clean your room? And I come back and it's like, looks the same, but one of my kids is like, oh, I put this away. And I'm like, but they thought it was a clean room to them. So I had to explain it, right? So you can do this. You can ask questions because this is empowering. What do you think of your bed? Is it messy or is it neat? And so if the bed is like blown up, and then you can say, what do you think neat would look like? What do you think it would look like to be more clean and organized? Like, oh, if I put my pillow in its spot, if I moved my blankets and folded them, or I put all my stuffies in one area, right? And so it's coaching them to think what is neat and what is messy, and you're empowering them to make decisions. And then the next one here, number three, have a plan for your kid's option C. So if you offer two things and your kid is like, they choose something else, you got to have a plan for it. So you got to be able to enforce the choices with consequences. So here's an example. Would you like to clean your room, or would you like to pay me for it? Well, how much, right? And so they're going with another option, and they're taking down a different route. So you got to be prepared. What am I going to charge my kid? And you can say $5. And then you can do this. I'll know what you decided in 10 minutes, which means I'll be back in 10 minutes. If your room is clean, that's awesome. If I come back in 10 minutes, I'm bringing the vacuum, I'm bringing everything, I'm going to clean your room and you're paying me $5. So do not act powerful if you're not going to follow through. So basically, don't tell your kids certain things if you're not going to do them, because it'll teach your kid not to believe a word you say. And that's huge. So you want your kids to believe you, right? Because one day it's like, if you've broken trust over time and you tell your kid like, hey, I'm gonna be there for you, or I'm gonna be at this event, and you don't show up, man, it's gonna break down that relationship. So always follow through with what you're gonna say to your kids. And this is the tip. This is where I messed up it more than a few times. Is don't do this when you're angry. Like if you just need to like take a break and step out of the space for a couple minutes, maybe go outside, take some fresh air. I wish I'd have done that more than a few times, rather than reacting out of anger. Like just take a break, because the issue will still be there in 10 minutes. Right? So you can come back to it and you'll be in a better spot, and that will save your relationship with your kid for years to come. Here's the goal of this whole thing. It's equipping your child to make choices. Consequences breed ownership, and ownership breeds responsibility. And when you hear that, don't you think of Father God like training us as children, right? He wants to equip us to make choices. He gives us consequences because they breed ownership, but then ownership breeds responsibility. If you are an adult with adult children, there's this book here called Doing Life with Your Adult Children. I personally haven't read it, but I got like an overview at a conference from a guy who wrote it. And he gave us the overview, and I recommended it to a parent with an adult child, and she was 17. She read it, and it totally radically changed her approach with her adult kid. So this is a great resource. And then here's that love languages indicator. Again, you can just scan this with your phone for the QR code. The love languages indicator takes like 5 minutes, but you'll learn what your love languages are. And you can share that with your spouse or your parents and get understand what is going to communicate love or respect or honor to them. All right, so now we're going to have you set a goal. So a Holy Spirit goal for the week. So based upon what you read in the scriptures, or you know, looking at this resource here, what goal do you want to set yourself for the week? So you can write that down. It could be something about maybe you want to have a conversation with your parent, or if your parent have a conversation with your kid, or maybe if your parents aren't around anymore, maybe they're deceased or just not in the picture. Like maybe you want to resolve some of those things in your heart with them, with the Lord, you know, regarding them. So whatever that is for you, Jesus has something for you today that he wants to do in your heart and in your life. So write that down. And then if you want, you share that with the person next to you, because that reinforces it when you speak that goal out loud. So take about a minute to write that down. So as we wrap up our time, we're going to have a really important message sharing about Jesus. And Anna is going to come up and share that with us today. So let's welcome Anna up here. Anna.
What an honor to be here and sharing the gospel. Sorry, let me set up a little bit. All right. Good. Can you guys hear me? Perfect. All right. So, as I was praying about how to share the gospel, because it is ultimately why we all are here, this is what God gave me. And he first told me that before him, I was so blessed to be around him. I grew up in the church, was brought up and raised, but I didn't really know him. And so I was like, Jesus, what did this look like? And it reminded me of a really dark period in my life where it was lonely and just gloomy. It's like I would describe it like a dark cloud over my head, because I just didn't really experience who he was. And so then once I got to know him and experience his love and joy was when I was fully transformed. And so then I was like, Jesus, how do I share this? And he gave me the verse that we all love and know and grew up in Bible school, and it's John 3:16, which says, "For this is how God loved his world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And I'm going to keep going because this is special. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And so what this means is that God sent his Son in mankind form, just like Jared and I, you and I. He was here physically and experienced all our physical needs and humanness, and he died and then resurrected. And so he did this because of our sin, which is ultimately what leads to our brokenness and why we are just so unworthy to be with God. But there's so much hope in the message that Jesus died for us. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if you haven't accepted Jesus into your hearts, or you need the courage to just raise your hand, and I can lead you to accepting Jesus into your heart. And if you want to talk to me afterwards too, I can lead you through prayer and what that looks like. But it's just truly transforming, and what God does within our brokenness and how he turns something that is just so, like, we're dirt, and he turns that into something that is so beautiful and gets us closer to him. And that's when we experience just this joy that makes no sense and this peace that makes no sense. So yeah, that's just my invitation for you today.
story and the gospel for those that would want to believe in Jesus for the first time. We're going to have a closing chorus. It's about up our worship team. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're willing and able, and we'll close with a chorus, and then we'll wrap up with a declaration of prayer.